right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. They're really bad. Just, it's unbelievable. Anyway, our sponsors today, we're still waiting on our guest, Jerry Wills, to join us. So in the meantime, let's just get our sponsorship out of the way. HoldenHealthCare.com. Met up with David Holden at our wonderful New Year's celebrations and stuff like that. It's great to see your naturopath at a festival, I've got to say. He's a specialist naturopathic oncologist. So what that means is if you're a hard-to-treat case and you've got cancer of some description, he can, in some cases, get that to go into remission for you. And all the medical disclaimers are there at HoldenHealthCare.com. Additionally, under the resources page, you can find a lot of his publications and things of that nature about your health and vaccines and the right supplements to take before and after, if you had to take them because of mandates and so on and so forth. So really good resources on HoldenHealthCare.com. Our other sponsor, Reopen.nz, a director of anti-mandate pro-choice, all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. So if you're in New Zealand and you want us to do away with all of that crapola, go to Reopen.nz and add your freedom business today. I'd like to give a quick plug here for Billy TK's documentary River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic, an investigative documentary, and it is going to be a hell of a job putting it together. And Billy, you know, being probably, you know, one of the greatest blues musicians of a generation, you know, I was talking to him on the phone the other day and just said, like, bro, the music is what is really important. That's what Dr. Rima Labo told me, that when you got a movement, the movement has to have songs. They have to have music to change the consciousness, because information just doesn't do it by itself. All right, you've got to have a great soundtrack in there to really help people to feel what it is you want them to feel. So today's show is the first show back of 2023, and coincidentally enough, it's the same day this time last year where I told Rebecca how I felt about her and that I loved her, and I left my partner Sarah and have been with Rebecca ever since, and our first baby is going to be due at the end of this month. So, yeah, guys, great start to the year, I think. Had a wonderful festival, Resolution Festival. We had some great jams there, came up with some good songs. And also met another couple of musicians. It's talking about the utility of an iPhone as a musician. Because you don't know when the next beat's going to come to you. You don't know when the next lyrics are going to come to you. And you know for a fact that as soon as the beat comes to you, or that lyric comes to you, you've got 5 seconds, 1,000, 2,000, 5 seconds you've got to pull out that phone, hit the record button on your voice recorder, and just jam it out, or just record down the idea. And just, you know, little ideas and things like that, and jams, etc., were sent to the producer, Alex Sound, from Magic Sound Recording, and he's going through the songs. There's like 700 clips there in total, including some demo tracks and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of musical content that I've been putting out over the years that hasn't really been produced or gotten out and released as an album or something like that. So that's what we're trying to do, as well as the radio show at the moment. Just doing the one day a week on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm very, very grateful to have the platform, especially after being deplatformed by YouTube. We've just had to start up a new channel here, so if you can look for Vinnie Eastwood on YouTube, you won't find me. So, you know, starting from scratch, you know, after having 6,000 videos and 2,000 guests over 15 years and having 65,000 subscribers across three channels, to have that all just disappear, that was a tough blow. It's not something you don't really recover from. It I was starting to think about this, like I remember Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored magazine and New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, respectively, co-edits them both with his wife Catherine Smith up there in Dargaville at the moment, I think is where they live in. And he talked about this one time when this book, The Fall of Khrushchev, came out. And he was reading it and he was thinking to himself, you know, as a journalist, he's like, this sounds like it was written by the CIA. And it was written by a man named Bill Heinlein. And so he calls up the Central Intelligence Agency, and they connected it to him. You know, he's like, Bill Heinlein here. And John's like, oh, gotcha, you know. And he gets a very angry call saying that he shouldn't go to print with his article. And he's like, well, to hell with you. You know, I've got a BBC contract. I'm about to leave New York, go to London, and start up there with my own crew and everything. Like, I can film and do whatever they want, I said. You know, you can't touch me. I'm going to put this article out there. So he publishes the article. And then suddenly that job dries up. And suddenly every job dries up. He couldn't get a job doing journalism to save his life. And this is a man who wrote one of the most read articles of Rolling Stone history about the war on cannabis. And he actually wound up having to scrub toilets at McDonald's for like 5 years or something like that. You know, just incredibly brutal what the New World Order will do to people who tell the truth when they just don't want you to. You know, and I remember when the Christchurch Mosque massacre happened, there's a bloody fly in here, and he's extremely tenacious, and he loves my face for some reason. Like, he's just sitting here on my microphone pop filter, just cleaning himself, you know, rubbing his hands together with glee. This little bastard. Unbelievable. It's the New Zealand summer, ladies and gentlemen. You just can't get away from the flies. You just can't. It's I don't know. For some reason in Australia, they don't have a problem with it. And there's this guy, he's just cleaning his ass right in front of my face on my microphone pop filter. These New Zealand flies are brazen, man. I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. Anyway, what I was saying was that, when you tell the truth, a lot of things can be taken from you. And I recall at the festival I was at, I had a chance to talk with Jason Kerrison, formerly of Op Shop, very big New Zealand band. And he was telling me about just like what happened to me in the truth movement kind of thing. Same thing sort of happened to him in the music industry. You know, he had to perform as himself, Jason Kerrison, and he had a whole apparatus and various things that he'd never really done live before. So he was very nervous. And I gave him a bit of encouragement with the megaphone and, you know, had a few laughs and he really got into it and he performed a pretty amazing set, frankly. And great new Freedom songs. We Are the New Atlantis, for example, that was great. And the choruses, the hooks, you know, all of those kind of like technical things as a musician that you sort of tend to notice, and the usage of the words and the flow and the harmony, that kind of stuff, just beautiful. And he was telling me that these new songs that he's got, his band doesn't like them. He's unvaccinated and stuff. And I believe we've got Jerry Wills on the line here. And let me just cut to him. G'day, Jerry. Are you there, mate?
How you doing, Benny? Can you hear me all right?
I can indeed, bro. We're just coming in loud and clear. So I was just telling a story about how a New Zealand musician here, Jason Kerrison, got kind of deplatformed from the music industry as soon as he went all truther and whatnot. And sort of relating it to the people like myself who've been deplatformed off of social media and deplatformed kind of socially to a large degree for telling the truth about the things that people don't want to listen to anyway, right? I was just thinking that's what my show is. If you really had to boil it down to, it's talking to people that nobody wants to listen to about things nobody wants to talk about, right? That's the ultimate thing, because there's consequences to telling deeper truths, and it offends people, whether or not offense is intended, and people will react accordingly.
Well, you know, there's a movement worldwide to suppress the truth and to maintain a narrative that is in alignment with whoever it is that's trying to take over the world and put us into slavery.
So this is the thing that I noticed when I was walking around the festival. All these kind of like truthy type people, right? For me, being recognized, you know, at the supermarket, that's a good day. But I was walking around this place and getting recognized everywhere I went, you know, kind of thing. Just, oh, I want to go over that way now. Why do I want to go over that way now? I don't know. Maybe I want to get stoned. And then I run into a truther. He's like, oh, hey, Vinny. You know, and he's just like, what's your name, bro? And he goes, my name's Stone. And I was like, whoa. Just kind of getting this sort of synchronistic flow going on. And Rebecca was talking to me about an Acapulco and how a lot of the people that I've interviewed on the show, you know, kind of peers, as it were, have been invited to speak there, and I haven't, kind of thing, and how good it would be for me to get the hell out of New Zealand and go somewhere and do a conference and that kind of thing. I was like, I'm stuck in this accursed archipelago. And then I was like, we do a conference here, and we go an archipelago.
Well, I think it would be good for you to go someplace and do some speaking. You know, you have a really valid message, Benny. And your experiences are unique because of where you are in the world. And for people to have an opportunity to hear what you have to say from your corner of the world, it would certainly be a good thing, I would think, for others to be exposed to that.
I mean, here's the thing. What is it exactly that people are being exposed to on this show? Like, I was remembering V, he started his Red Pill Hardcore Truth show on this network, I think. He's on at the moment. And I remember him telling me that he's a targeted individual, right? You know, calls all the time, people knocking on his door, surveillance, we've been watched everywhere where he goes. And he was telling me that the reason why he listened to my show is that at the end of a 2-hour broadcast, he could get to sleep. Like he wouldn't ordinarily be able to get to sleep, but after an episode of the Vinnie Eastwood show, he could, because it was able to calm his nervous system down and make him think that, yes, everything's screwed up, but that doesn't mean I can't have a laugh about it. So he was able to actually sleep because of me doing my show. And other people have told me that they were going to commit suicide before listening to my show and stuff like that. And so there's a huge effect that you have that you don't actually necessarily benefit from, right? You just do the work and it helps people and it helps them in their own way. And that's the job.
Well, exactly. You know, you throw, it's just the same old analogy. You throw a pebble into a still pool of water and the ripples move outward. You don't know what they're going to touch, but you created the effect. And the effect has reciprocity. And that reciprocity is going to hungry people who are hungry for information and truth. And when it touches them, they realize they're no longer alone. Instead, they feel like they have some companionship with you, and the message that you provide gives them the idea that it's okay to talk about these things, that it's okay to be that person who doesn't agree the way everyone else around them is agreeing. You have that effect on people. You know, I respect you highly, and I admire the work that you do. You stand up, you don't back down, and yeah, it's scary at times. It can't help but be scary because you're going up against the darkness, and when you face the darkness, it's going to be scary. But when you know that you are not alone, that's when you have a little bit more going for you, and you don't have to be as afraid as you might be if you thought you were just all alone doing this. Hell, I've been watching what you're doing, and you've been doing this, you know, without knowing how many people were standing behind you or rooting for you, and not just in your community, but all over the world. Mm. Kathy and I, here in America, we recognize what you're doing, and, you know, we are 100% behind you, and there are people worldwide who hear what you have to say, who respect your views, and understand that the things that you're saying have a great level of truth in them. So, you know, you've thrown a pebble in a pond, and its ripples have moved across the face of the earth. You don't see that because of where you are. It's impossible for you to know it, to actually know it. Mm. But
my cousin was doing yoga in Tampa, Florida one time, and introduces himself to the guy next to him, and he goes, "Wait, are you related to Vinnie Eastwood?" And he's like, "Yeah, oh my God, I love him. I listen to his show."
Yeah, I get that a lot. You know, Kathy and I did documentaries in South America for quite a long time, and one time we were at Marcahuasi. It's in central Peru, up in the Andes. Really amazing place. There are these two kids there from Poland.
Well, we're going to have to save that story until after the break. I'm sorry, Jerry, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show live on republicbroadcasting.org with our own fly in the studio. This is going to be a great show. Get away from me. And one moment, please, folks. We will be right back after these messages. Sorry, guys. Welcome back. Sorry, there was no sound there for a little bit. What I was saying was we were talking about Ngāti Tahuantinsis, the first Rastafarian elected to New Zealand Parliament, and how he first got a job as an MP. He had to buy a watch for the first time in his life and obey all these schedules and go to all these meetings and all of that kind of stuff, and it was just driving him nuts. And his kind of like valedictorian speech, like as he bowed out of Parliament for the last time kind of thing, he put this watch on the bench in Parliament. And then he pulls a ball peen hammer out of the inside jacket pocket and he smashes it in front of everybody to show how much he didn't like being a slave to time. As we all kind of are, aren't we? Are we all like rushing around and stuff doing this, that and the other? It's like, just chill. You know? Things don't have to be in a rush. Things don't have to be stressful. And people are always going around trying to make it so. It's like, nah, man, do what you got to do, and the universe will just push you through and get the job done that way, you know? It's like fighting against the current, trying to stress and control everything, man. It's a waste of time.
Absolutely. You know, and this whole paradigm started really back in the 1800s, when towards the end of the 1800s in the Industrial Revolution, and they had to figure out how much work time and how much free time to give the people. And in doing so, they set up a situation where you became basically enslaved. But in the minds of the people that were in this predicament, they, of course, were getting some remuneration for their efforts. And in doing so, you know, they could take some money home. But things have just progressed now since that time, where people are more concerned about the amount of time they work and how much they're going to get. It's become, you know, very, you know, inward centric. And it just, like you say, it makes everyone a slave to time. And it's just ironic, because time is a human construct. And of course there's a passage of time. That's pretty obvious. But when you're living your life dictated by the hands on a clock, the clock becomes the taskmaster, and whoever you're working for becomes the slave owner. And so slavery really hasn't gone away. It's just changed names and how it is being promulgated upon, you know, societies of the world.
Yeah. Some reminds me of somebody who was telling me about their dad, and they didn't understand why he said it or something like that. It was like way back in the day when they were a kid. And it was just about traffic lights. And dad didn't obey the traffic lights. He's like, I'm not going to let a robot tell me what to do.
that's good.
And how often do we have these little things, these little rules, these things that don't really make any sense that we're doing like all the time, you know, standing in line for this, that, or the other, you know? I mean, I'm glad that when you stand in line for your groceries, it's not like Wall Street, you know, when there's like 20,000 people like shaking bits of paper and going, hey, whatever. You know, there you go. Perfect timing. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after this short break. Don't go anywhere. Coming down.
The truth! You can't handle the truth.
Peace comes breaking. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the only show that was so good that it got banned, but is still here nonetheless. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and it's just as bad as it sounds. My very special guest, Jerry Wells. Welcome back, Jerry.
Thank you, Vinnie. Good to be here, buddy.
Hey, for those who don't actually know who you know, I forgot to get around to introductions. I've just been kind of all over the place today. Just did like an hour of swimming this morning. Who are you? What is it that you do?
Well, I am, what's that?
You were the Rolodex.
Yeah. let's see, jerrywills.com. You can find out more about me. I am an energy healer, and I work on people worldwide, even in Australia and New Zealand. Also, I'm the host of the Jerry Wills Show. That's at jerrywillsshow.com. It's not Willis, it's Wills, W-I-L-L-S. And we produce shows, you know, that sort of thing. And aside from that, well, I'm a husband and the pilot of the Phaeton, a 40-foot, I think in your neck of the woods they call them a caravan. It's a 40-foot diesel pusher. It's like a mobile apartment on wheels. And we travel around the United States looking for stories and cover them live. We tie our drone into the video broadcast system. I have a complete studio here. And we have cameras and go out and shoot video and that sort of thing, and then put together documentaries. We have a whole slew of documentaries on our time in Peru at jerrywillsshow.com. And like you, I interview pretty interesting people, including you. I interviewed you.
Yes. So. The dreaded arrest for protesting. I was just thinking about this, like, how often do you want to dwell on the past, you know? It's like, what about tomorrow, you know? What are you doing tomorrow?
Yeah, I understand. Well, you know, I mean, it's a very busy life. I'm 69 years old. excuse me, there's tree pollen happening now. And we live in a desert, so go figure that one out. But it's blowing in from somewhere. I'm in the United States in the Sonoran Desert in Arizona. We are in the middle of the desert right now. And if your viewers are interested, I could just switch the camera around and show you a view outside.
Sure, bro.
What's that?
Sure, let's go for a walk.
Well, I need to put some shoes on. They're a cactus.
Oh, yeah. Well, cacti.
Well, cacti. Thank you. I'm corrected. But, you know, that's pretty much what I'm all about. I also believe in the same things you believe in, that we were born free, we should remain free. And, of course, in the United States, I don't know about there, probably there, there are people who are patriots, and these patriots are for the rights of the people to be enforced and acknowledged. And, of course, if you're following anything in the United States, you probably realize that that's not the case. We have thousands, millions, really, not thousands, millions of people coming across the United States southern border. 30,000 pounds of fentanyl, which is enough to kill moreover than once all the people in the United States. That's coming across the border. There's slave trafficking here. Lots of violence. We aren't in the city, because in the city, gangbangers like to earn their wings, or whatever it is they're earning, by driving along and just shooting bad people in cars, and sometimes these people are killed. It's winter here in the United States.
On second thoughts, maybe don't show us around.
What's that?
On second thoughts, maybe don't show us around.
Well, no, it's safe here. It's why we're here, Benny. Let me just step out, and I'll just...
Now, there's also a problem with the Skype as well, because it'll have a background blur option, so you should actually change your camera settings to take the blur off the Skype before we go around.
I'll have to experiment with that, because I'm not familiar. Let me see if I can figure out how to turn this thing around.
That's the other thing. You've got to learn all these technical skills, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to do the gig. You know,
well, I had to start using my phone, Vinny, because the computer, when I fired it up here in the studio, nothing was connecting. There were some updates, and as a result of the updates, everything just kind of went nuts, and I wasn't able to, oh, there we are. There's the blur thing. So that's gone.
There we go. That's gone. That's good. All right. Give us the tour, the Casa de Jerry.
You got it. Let me just see if I can figure out how to do this.
Mm. I mean, we're looking at what you're looking at, so just point the camera and shoot, buddy.
Well, I'll just turn it around. I'm banging my head on the studio lights.
Yeah, because you're like as tall as I am. You're like 6 foot six or seven or something, right?
6'9".
6'9"? Oh, far out.
Stupid thing. There we go. I got you back on my screen. So heading outside. Oh my God, the sun's so bright out here.
Well,
I can't even see the sun. So just walk out here a little piece. There's the Jeep behind me. It says it's backwards. I'm sorry. It says Zombie Outbreak Response Team. We are in an RV park. And about 40 miles north of Phoenix. I don't know what that is in kilometers. But I'll swing around, and you can take a look behind me. And that's what the desert looks like out here. Wow. You see this weird green tree here? Well, it has no leaves. The entire surface of the tree is green, and that's because that's how it receives chlorophyll. And those fuzzy cactuses are called choya. They actually are very responsive to water. So if you get near one and it's very dry, the little needles will just spring and bounce it towards you. They are hellish. Aside from that, let's keep going around. There's a storage lot here off to my over my shoulder. And here's the Phaeton. That's where we live. And I don't know if you can see the mountains in the distance.
Well, you're seeming to cut out just a little bit.
It's not really the high desert. It's not too close. Maybe I should get back closer into the signal.
It's probably wise. We got a full-on bus there, man. Wow.
What's that?
Full-on bus, man. Even for somebody who's 6'9". Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, surprisingly, it's high enough to where it can fit. But take a look. This is the studio. And you can see the studio lights, the blue screen. Because we use blue screen for broadcasting.
I can't do blue screen because of my blue eyes.
It messes with mine, too, especially when I wear glasses. Mm. Oh, now what am I looking at?
Got to do green screen, bro. There you go. Now we're back.
But that's why it looks blue.
Yeah. Well, there's something about just getting out in the fresh air kind of thing. It really kind of like takes the stress off. Because when you're living in a city, you don't necessarily notice until you've been away for a little bit, like just how much the air and the energy in the air and everything just kind of like makes a big difference, eh?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But we get sick of it. And now we're going to have Agenda 21 where nobody's going to be able to like go out and camp and stuff like that. You might be the last generation who really gets a chance to kind of retire on the road, as it were.
Well, and I don't know what's permitted or not on your channel, so if I start going someplace, you can just tell me. I don't want you to get any more censorship than you've already gotten.
Well, apparently with Republic Broadcasting, all we're going to do is abide by FCC regulations. So that just basically means no swearing or pornography. So it's all good.
Oh, well, then I kind of guess I'm in trouble with my broadcasts.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, you know, you talked about it, that Agenda 21, I think the vaccines are a part of that. Do you know that the entire world, the policies for the entire world were dictated by the U.S. military complex in the United States? We found the documentation on that yesterday. And all the things that your government did to knock the people down, suppress everyone, and you know, all the problems that are involved right now in the world, is because of manipulation and lies. The truth was completely kept from everyone. And I think probably your listeners are aware of that. But when you find out what the truth is, at that point you start getting a bit angry. And then you are looking for something that you can do to maybe make things better, right that wrong. And what do? I mean, it's like tilting at dragons, really. There's not a whole lot you can do. But we've uncovered some of the most damning evidence. and it continues to trickle in. Things that, you know, you wouldn't really believe to be part of this entire world scenario. Suddenly, there it is. You know, I know the folks in Australia. I have many friends in Australia, clients as well as in my audience. And the things that they've had to endure. I don't know all the specifics where you are there in New Zealand. But from what I've heard and what I've seen with what's happened with you, you know, it's it is really very far-fetched. The government would go against its people that way.
Mm. Well, they took all our guns first and then became tyrannical directly afterwards. You know, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have warned people about this happening? Voice in the wilderness of New Zealand for a long, long time, and suddenly after Christchurch and COVID and all of a sudden there's all these other broadcasters coming up, and I'm just absolutely over the moon. It's like, thank you guys, thank you for doing the work, man. It was hard doing it by myself, and now I don't have to do it all, so thank you.
Yeah, well, and you gave them a reason. Now, that was your effect. You gave them a reason, and you gave them courage to take a step. You know, if you're going to be standing out there pointing at the fireball that's heading down towards you, other people should get out there and say the same thing. Tyranny does not respect anyone with a voice. Tyranny respects silence, and it demands silence. You just can't be silent. You have to stand and speak. doesn't matter who you are. I mean, any one of your listeners, all they need to do is take a step outside and just say, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And mean it.
Yeah.
And just over and over again. I mean, how many people are listening? How many people could step outside and say that and then effectively make a change? You know, you're looking at a handful of people controlling the masses. And I'm not an insurrectionist. I don't see myself that way at all. But I am a person who believes that we were born with freedom. It was given to us by our Creator. It doesn't matter what name you put on the Creator, God, Buddha, whatever, Jehovah. Those are just names. The fact is, the Creator is a thing and an identity. And we were born into this world so that we could experience life unfettered with the dogma and the dictums of, you know, people in power who would seek to keep you in place. So, just my view on it, of course. But I think that if people really understood that there was an opportunity for them to no longer be captivated by this. You know, all it takes is standing. Just stand and say what you have on your mind. Speak your truth. You know, it's not the truth. It's not the absolute, unfettered truth. I don't think anyone really knows what that is. But your truth based upon what you know. And you'll find there are other people who will listen because they're looking for some sliver of truth. They're looking for some reason to stand and say, you know what, I'm not alone in this, like I was talking about before. But I don't know if we're there yet. I think it's probably down the road someplace. But I think folks need to take a look and just be tired of the way things are. This is the way you did. My gosh, you stepped out there, put yourself in the line.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like, it's amazing what trauma will make you do, you know, and what trauma won't let you do.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about not being afraid. You know, I would be terrified if I were in your situation when they came and took you. I would just, that would be traumatizing.
Oh, and it was.
Yeah, I know, I saw it. And, you know, my heart ached for you. I think it did for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, my archivist, Julia, and my guitarist, Mike, they were depressed for weeks after seeing my arrest footage, you know. It really, really hit home for some people, you know, how brutal the system can be and how uncaring it is, and that kind of that takes something from you and it doesn't give it back.
No, you're right, but I think ultimately maybe it leaves you a little wiser and hopefully a lot stronger.
Yeah, either that or a lot more fragile and less able to deal with crap, you know. It was kind of like I was thinking about health, you know, how traumatizing experiences can affect your health, you know, either in how you cope with them or actually just direct damage to the body and stuff like that, you know. And of seeing my naturopath, David Holden from holdenhealthcare.com, who sponsors the show. And yeah, man, it's just like, Vinny, the liver's on a scale of 1 to 3 here. 1 meaning very good and 3 meaning very bad. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you're a 9. And I was like, oh. Let's do something about this, shall we? You know, and I haven't had a coffee, you know, as regularly as I would normally. I mean, I think I had a coffee this morning, but other than that, I really haven't had much in 4 months, kind of like at all. And coming off of that stuff with adrenal fatigue and all of that stuff, you know, you have to find new ways of motivating yourself, because you just don't have the energy for anything. You're just kind of like lolling through life. It's freaking brutal.
Yeah, it is. It is. Of course, I mean, around here, coffee is a staple. You know, everybody has their thing, Benny. Everybody has their thing. And, you know, for me, if I need to get recentered, it's coffee and a cigarette, and I'm fine. I'm just okie-dokie at that point. But if I don't have it, then it just becomes an escalated state of, well, unpleasantness.
I was thinking it was like we try to subdue ourselves with these things because we can't actually do anything about the situation that we're in right now, kind of thing. So it's like it just allows you to sort of like calm down, come back to the present moment. It's like, there you go. Okay, nothing stressful, nothing actually really going on. It's just stuff that's outside of my control. And like Marcus Aurelius said, is it inside your control? No. Well, then don't worry about it. Is it in your control? Yeah. Then don't worry about it.
Well, that's a good way of looking at it. I think, you know, there's some truth there. Well, you know, I mean, in the United States, things have really gone in a lot of different directions here. They've, for example, Oregon, Washington State, California, I think Oregon more specifically, and maybe Washington State, that's in the northwest of this country. They've legalized everything from cocaine and amphetamines to pot, you know, cannabis. There's nothing off limits, hallucinogenics as well. And in other parts of this country, you have a seed in your pocket and they catch you. You go to jail for a few years, to prison actually, for a few years. So, I mean, it's quite divergent here. And people are using these things to escape reality, of course, to try and get back to some sense of balance or normalcy. I don't know much about New Zealand. Is cannabis legal there?
Nope.
People use it?
No, it's not legal. I mean, you can now get prescribed it, but it's weak and like maybe 2 to 4 times what you can get on the black market in terms of price. And you've got to like do a doctor's certificate and all of that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's legal in some sense. But the rest of it, you know, I mean, it was a long time since I've been busted for cannabis. But back when I did it, I think I was like 20, what's this, like 17 years ago now, they treated it as seriously as manslaughter. Like you accidentally kill somebody or you get caught with a bag of weed for sale, same punishment, up to 8 years in prison, you know.
Wow.
So yeah, pretty brutal back in the day, but it depends what you get caught with and all of that sort of thing. So it's relaxed a lot now. Apparently a lot of people are just being caught and being let go, of course, having their stuff confiscated. I've even heard from stories of people who didn't get their stuff confiscated. Like, they found it and they're just like, oh, no, it's just weed. No, here you go, bro. Go for your life. You know, so, We had a referendum and the public said no. At the same time...
Well, as far as you know.
Yeah, the public said no, we don't want legal cannabis. And at the same time that they did that, and people have been campaigning for about 99 years in this country in order to get cannabis re-legalized, and at the same time, they just tacked on another referendum was, do you want people to be able to have assisted suicide? And the people said yes. So they said no to giving you a reason to live, and they said yes to just killing you outright. If that's not a demonstration of what the New Zealand consciousness is at right now, I don't know. I don't know of a clearer example.
Well, you have to wonder, you know, considering the election issues that we have in this country, I'll bet you have ballot issues in your country as well. And if the people even voted for it and the powers that be don't want it, it's still not going to happen. They'll just manipulate the vote.
Yeah, people were saying that, and there was a lot of, there was a list somebody sent me. I forget how long it was. It might have been like 14 things that should not happen in a regular election that happened during the last election of Jacinda Ardern kind of thing. In terms of like, how did this happen? Because she came out with this huge majority, right? And everybody thinks subterfuge and that kind of thing. And I've spoken to some people on the inside. They're like, nah, bro, it was totally legit. And nobody would believe it, right? And I believed it because I'm not an idiot. Have a look at what happened that year. Who was getting free airtime, free campaign time, basically, for an hour a day, telling everybody, I'm keeping you safe, I'm giving you the vaccine, I'm doing this, that, and the other? Who would have thought that they would win by a landslide that election? Right? Right?
Yeah, good point there.
And not to mention the amount that they spent on their billboards and stuff, which were absolutely everywhere. Like, you couldn't go round the corner without getting Jizzy in your face. All right? There she is. Big, big teeth. Old Jizzy just smiling back at you. You know, you turn the corner. Boom! Jizzy in the face. All right? It's just brutal. I couldn't even friggin' handle it. Like, I found myself having screaming matches with myself in the car while I was going down after I seen all of these friggin' signs up the side of the road with all these people and their fake smiles and their Agenda 21 policies that I happen to have read. You know? Ugh.
So do you have a lot of sudden death over there in your country?
We don't play hockey much, but yes, there have been plenty of people suddenly dying all over the place. Inexplicable. He had a vaccine, next day he was dead. We just can't explain it. All right, well, that seems to be the end of the show, actually, for today. Jerry, jerrywills.com, thank you very much for jumping on with us, ladies and gentlemen, and we will see you again next week, same time. Thank you so much for joining us.